You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Sometimes movies come along that really surprise you. And sometimes movies come along that are so incredibly low budget that when they really surprise you, you just want to champion them, kind of.
And yeah, I'm totally with you there.
I completely understand why one of our local, very big distribution companies, Fonz PR, wanted to pick up this movie, Time Trap, because, yeah, it's a super little tiny indie sci-fi film, and yet it does so many things that are so cool that you're like, I want more people to see this. Yeah. More people should see this. I'm proud of the distribution model of this.
Big time, yeah. It's full of like surprising, fun ideas. Even throughout the movie, like with a movie of this budget, just like sometimes the eyes are bigger than the stomach. There's big ideas. Some don't work. Some do. But just the ambition, the imagination of it, it's very charming. Like once the movie starts, the hook gets you, and it's very fun. It's like an entertaining ride.
Well, that's Alan you're hearing. I'm Chris, and we are the two people on the OneOfUs.net that got to review this film, Time Trap, which very late, they were like, sorry for the late notice, but we are, here's the thing, if you want to either see it in the theater, which we did not. We actually watched a digital screener of it, but I guess technically this should have been Screener Squad instead of High Suspect Reviews, but I figured since they offered a theatrical review.
Yeah, it was the last minute and couldn't make it during the daytime screening, so yeah.
It was 10 a.m. the next day. Yeah. Like literally the day they put out the thing, it was like the next day it's available.
A lot of normal people out there, 10 a.m. doesn't sound like wildly early, but for me, that's pretty rough. Yeah, it sprung on me the day before.
It is. I can do it, but I'd prefer not to. Yeah.
2 day notice. I'll make the 10 a.m.
So, I mean, like, it's not like this film is going to be filled with, like, people you recognize or even, like, directors you're familiar with. This is directed and written by Mark Dennis and Ben Foster, not that Ben Foster, the actor, like different guy who actually is a Austin Film School graduate.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, who went through film school here. In fact, he's apparently going to be on Double Toasted with an interview, and it makes me wonder, based on when he was here, I wonder if he was a fan of The Real Deal, which is our old public access show, which I think is actually, because it was one of those, like, they were like, yeah, we're not interested, when they told him, we're not going to do a telephone interview. You have to be in person or fuck you. And then they're like, oh, they said they're interested. I'm like, oh, I bet you they're of the right age, considering everything, where I bet you they were watching our old show, The Real Deal.
That's pretty awesome. But yeah, I noticed in the movie, actually, now thinking about it, there's like the Harris County, Travis County Sheriff's Department on a search or something like that.
It takes place in Austin.
Okay, yeah.
And largely was filmed in Austin, although parts were filmed in L.A. Because of the necessity for a appropriate cavern, which most of this film takes place in. Time Trap is initially follows a guy who is named Hopper, played by Andrew Wilson, who is a teacher at a school who's like, hey, I'm investigating this sort of cold case of a bunch of hippies who went missing back in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah. Hippie times.
Yeah, they weren't specific, and no one knows what happened to them. And basically finds their van, goes, I finally found the spot. No one's ever found the spot. I found their abandoned hippie van. Comes back, tells his students, you guys can't come with me on this one. I'm going on it alone, which they're all kind of baffled of. But he just disappears and doesn't come back. So they're like, okay, so now we're going to go chase, as they say repeatedly in the movie, go look for the guy who disappeared, looking for people who disappeared.
Yeah. It'll go great.
Yeah. And they bring along with them, like, all their friends.
Yeah. And their friend's little sisters. And the little sister's little friends.
Yeah. Like very little kids and stuff. And it's like, this seems like a poorly thought out plan at best. But so they have the GPS coordinates that he had given them in case anything goes wrong, and they go out there and they're like, okay, well, this is weird that he's not here. There's a bunch of ropes leading down into caves. They go down into said caves, and before you know it, they're encountering a lot of weird shit going on, which is not limited to obviously sort of Neanderthal-ish type people, but with poorly executed makeup.
I mean, the budget shows early on. I think earlier I said I kind of equate it. It feels like a CW movie. It has like that production value of a Supergirl, you know, on some of the lesser budgeted episodes, or Arrow, something like that. Which isn't, this isn't like a knock on it necessarily. There's still like, they get a lot of mileage out of the money they do have.
It's way low budget, but yeah, that's the thing, is how much mileage do they get?
Can we get it? And it should be said early on, when he first discovers a cave and he's kind of peeking in there, he does see some sort of time hijinks or something strange that brings him back there. And once, like, once the kids get there and they go into the cave, it's apparent right away that there is some sort of time issue, time
a
trap.
Time trap, you might sorts. Say. And it is. And like, I'm very tempted to say almost nothing past this point, because it is fascinating to watch as that the sci-fi level evolves and you figure out what's going on. But to sell you guys on this film, I feel like we have to at least get into
dipping a little. We can go a little into it.
Yeah, the first act, which is they get into there. There's that question as they're looking up at through the hole through the cave, like, wow, it's like, what's going on with the light? It's like flashing. And as a viewer, you're quickly like, that's the sun going by. Like, obviously, the time trap level is that, like, okay, you're in a world where time is moving at a different
pace.
Different pace than it was outside the cave. And as it goes along, it's a lot of, like, them having a hard time, almost too hard of a time accepting.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I had one, like, hardcore issue with the movie, is how long it takes these characters not only to realize, but then to accept what's happening to them.
Yeah.
Because the movie tells you right away, we know as audience, and I understand there's some dramatic tension to be mined there, the people not knowing and us knowing, but it takes a little too long for them to catch up to, like, what's happening to them. And that's a little frustrating in like, the middle of that movie, where you just, like, want to get to that next part because of the exciting ideas and where the possibilities where this can go. You want them to realize what's happening so the movie can get to these new fun ideas that are, like, running through your own head, and you're wondering what they're going to do with it.
And it does eventually. And that's the thing about this film that I feel like really needs to be sold, is that these characters are all played by actors who are relatively amateur. I mean, like, probably the biggest name is Cassidy Gifford, who is Katie Lee Gifford's daughter, who plays the older sister of the younger girl who's there with her. Like, everyone else is relative. I mean, she's going to be relatively unfamiliar. She was in The Gallows, if you saw that, which is not good. It was a Blumhouse film. But everybody's doing a pretty good job. Nobody's going to stand out like, wow, this was a fucking bravura performance here, for sure. But everybody's doing good enough of a job that it doesn't feel like one of those Z-grade
look movies. Yeah, it's like, it's all competent, mostly. There's some weird line reads here and there. But then, like, another scene, like, the person's great. Another scene's like, oh, that was kind of an awkward take. But, of course, that could be, like, we don't have time to do 10 more takes. And you could see it's another space where the budget shows. But, like, the performances are very competent, and like, throughout the movie.
And it's clear once it – yeah, I was talking to Martin about this earlier from Double Toasted and going, like, here's the thing about this movie. For the first half of it, you're like, I don't dislike this. But it's clearly just it feels like one of those, like, okay, like, maybe you got something to offer later on, but so far this is just okay. And then about the halfway point, it starts introducing a lot of really fascinating ideas in sci-fi that are normally more literary sci-fi ideas, and it keeps going. And once it gets past that halfway point, it starts building to a conclusion that I thought was, like, ballsy.
Yeah, very much so. I think I kind of know about the point. It's a little past the middle of the movie. It's not much of a spoiler. One character kind of gets a peek above the cave.
Yeah.
Like, how much time is passing gives you a sense of what's happening. And you're just like, oh, shit, they're going there with it. Like, it's going, like, full, like, science fiction, and, like, insanity. Like, real deep
literary sci-fi.
Yeah, big time. And And that's actually one of the scenes where the budget doesn't show, not to spoil anything what's up there, but it actually looks really pretty good and like very shocking. And like, it's like, oh man, this movie's really going with it.
They make the most out of their limited budget to do what they need to do. Big time. They make the most out of like exploring this intellectually about what would happen in the scenario. All right. So at this point, we're going to just flat out say we're going to be a little more spoilery. So if you don't want to know any more, then cut off here. But I think we can both firmly say we really recommend this movie for sci-fi fans.
100%. Do you know what the distribution is? Is it streaming, VOD?
As far as I know, it's largely coming out in a very limited release in Austin.
Okay.
And I have no idea beyond that, but it's been played at a lot of festivals. It's been gotten very strong reviews at festivals. Like a lot of reaction of people going like, wow, this is much better than you expect.
Yeah, it's one of those for sure.
And I find that even more so than horror, which I know I obviously have a bit of a soft spot for, sci-fi low budget stuff, even when it's got a lot of high ideals, often is kind of boring.
Yeah.
This is not boring.
Yeah.
it's fun and nerve wracking even at points.
At times. Yeah.
Yeah. And like a lot of like where it sets up those questions, like I have no idea what's going to happen next in the scenario. All right. So moving on to the little bit more spoilery, but not full spoilery. So they go, there's that point where they're clear time is passing on the outside faster of the cave, faster than it is on the inside.
Yes.
That point where they realize, oh, it's not just passing faster on the outside. What we thought was the sun just passing and every flash that we're seeing through a hole in the cave is a day going by isn't a day.
It's a year.
It's an entire season going by. And so every 10 seconds was a year, not a day.
Yeah. And they're flying through time.
Where that leads you to is where that film really starts making it some super interesting and fun to watch science.
And that was like surprising for me and one of the fun moments because in my head I was watching the runtime and kind of counting the flashes of lights that I would see. It was like, okay, this is every like 6 seconds is a day. So, you know, like if you like think out maybe like an hour in this timeline, like how many, and then it like that totally got flipped. It's like, oh no, that's like a year. And then it was just like, I was like, oh shit. Like this isn't like we're getting out and it's 20 years later. This is like, if we get out of here, this is going to be like centuries later.
The idea that this cavern that existed, which is they're saying is like, was the thing Ponce de Leon was searching for.
The Fountain of Youth.
The Fountain of Youth, even though it's in Texas, not Florida, which I'm not sure how that works, but
Matt's back then.
Whatever.
It's easy to be off by a couple of miles.
The creators wanted to call out the state they grew up in. Like, they regularly call out Austin and Travis County in there. But, sure, that's fine. And there's even a little bit of a gimme with the sort of like the healing powers of the water that doesn't quite exactly follow in a scientific sense.
No, yeah. I mean, when you get to the Fountain of Youth and like science, it's science light.
Science light. But I do like the things they were going with like the idea of like not finding an easy way out of this.
Yeah.
It does not get out of it the way that a more commercial film would have.
It finds
a much more interesting path.
Yeah. And halfway into the movie, you realize like, okay, everyone they know and love is far gone dead. Like, you know, like, so like that type of resolution or there's some kind of reversal, it clearly states like, that's not an option for the end of this movie.
I will say I would have liked to see more interactions, which there are very few actual interactions. Like, it's more insinuated with other people over time who've stumbled into this game.
Oh, yeah,
There's a cowboy character that never actually gets to do anything at all. He's pretty much frozen in time and then dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would have loved to have seen him been a part of the story.
You see some, like, cavemen. You see, like, a cowboy. You see, like, some symbols of like some like
cave drawings.
Yeah, so some explorers like conquistador type.
But it would have been cool to see like where the crew was gathered, ended up interacting more, in a positive way with other people who had fallen into this.
And it kind of like, I feel like it sets you up for that in a way. Like, we're going to get to see these types of interactions. And it doesn't quite happen, which is disappointing, but it's hard to be that mad at it with the places that it does go. But that would have been exciting. Like, just from like halfway through, I'm kind of a fan of this movie. And I'm just like, oh, I hope we go here with it. I want to see this part too. Because it's a really great, interesting idea.
I find myself even a bigger supporter because of the fact that it was so made on so little money and it's still such a really fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
That you're going to come out of at the end going, wow, that was not at all going where I expected it to.
For sure.
And also a movie that, like, a lot of films like this feel like the need to make it, like, brutal and horrible at the end. And this film is not one that wants to do that. It finds a totally different course that is more in touch with sci-fi literature than it is with horror literature.
For sure, yeah.
And it feels like there's a point in the film, it feels like it's just going to go down the this is not a dismissal statement towards horror, but feels like it's going to go like, oh, and then everybody dies horribly.
Yeah.
And so, like, no, they found like a way to sell it as sci-fi that really made me at the end go, yeah, I'd watch a sequel to this movie, totally. For sure.
And I mean, it feels like one of those like really thin paperbacks you might read back in the day of a sci-fi story. That's like a breezy through, like a lot of fun, interesting ideas, moves quickly, and is like leaves you at the end just like, that was a fun thing to do. It
feels like a really solid Twilight Zone or Outer Limits episode.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but let's go to final thoughts, Alan.
Yeah, you know what? I was surprised. Like, again, this is last minute. Wasn't on my radar at all. Was asked to review it. I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'll watch this movie. Wasn't expecting too much because of that. Like, maybe because of that last minute aspect of it. But turned it on earlier today and just was like hour and a half or so breezed by and really enjoyed it. Loved the big ideas. There are some limitations. If you're, like, supremely bothered by, like, low-budget movies and stuff, I guess this isn't for you. But if you, like, find like filmmaking within those parameters, like exciting and fun, this is like something you'll totally get a kick out of. They got a lot of mileage out of just really their imagination, like the ambition of the storytelling and like what they're going for with it. I'd give a solid 7 out of 10 time loops. I mean, it's very good. I mean, and it's kind of on a scale, like, you know, like they're like big budget or really bad, shitty movies that are like maybe more competently made, but they're not imaginative. This is just so much, like, there's so much, like, passion. You can tell there's, like, so much fun and imagination going into this. Like, that scale bumps it up a point or two. It's just because it's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I think we're right on the same page here. This is, I give it full points for being something that had so little resources to work from, and yet came up with a film that, like, at its worst, you can say the Neanderthals didn't have great makeup.
Yeah.
Like, other than that, I'm like, this is pretty solid. It's a super, like, in terms of budget, Z grade, but in terms of like ambition and well executed film, it's way up there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not up to the point of Upgrade or something like that.
No, yeah.
You know, watching but it could have been.
Yeah.
It feels like that film, like, wow, if these guys had two films on more under their belt, this could have been on that level.
Yeah. Or even maybe just like another $500,000.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like one of the two things like could have elevated a little bit.
And it's still really watchable and fun. I think at the end of this, you're going to come out of it going, I'm so glad I watched this movie. I'm going to give it a 7.5. Fuck you, Alan. 7.5 out of 10. Weirdly excessive use of Calium glow sticks. Because they're just tossing that shit all over. Was that one scene where the girl's just like throwing them out?
You don't know how long you're going to be down there. Stop burning these things off.
She's just throwing them out. Like, why are you just, you're in the same room.
Planning for a time raid.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, do, 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 do.